welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how to catch a fish.
You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Okay, well, welcome back. So glad that you've tuned in for another episode of New Every Day. Jen, we have an interesting topic to discuss today. Why don't you introduce that for us?
Sure. This topic actually began welling up in me probably within the last 2 or 3 weeks. This whole idea of dreams and visions for our local church and saying, God, what do you want? What do you have for us? Teach me to listen. And I feel that the Lord has been saying over the last little while, well, I've been praying for evangelism. Okay, Lord, grow your church. And I don't want it to be church migration.
Right.
I don't, where people are like unhappy here, so they go somewhere else and, oh, it's not really my style. So they go somewhere else where they go somewhere else. And it's like, they're never really happy or plugged in. And I said, I don't want your church to grow like that. I want it to grow by salvation. And then I went, oh dear Lord Jesus. I feel my gifting is discipleship, teaching people about who Jesus is and the abundant life and how do you actually walk in the abundant life. Mm-hmm. And yet I feel him welling this thing up inside of me that says, but I love every person. I want all people to come to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, then you need to come up with a plan. Like,
so how do you get the people in?
How do you get the people in? Mm-hmm. How do you tell them about yourself? How do I tell them about Jesus or anyone else? And then what is the process for discipleship? And I basically laid it back out to the Lord to say, what is your plan? You well it up because I don't want to step outside of your plans and purposes. And it was really interesting because then that night, Carrie's dad, who's is our alpha leader and just has a heart for evangelism, came to me and he's like, Jen, I've been thinking about, the next step after alpha.
Yeah.
And I like to do Christianity 101. And I just went, it was just one of those things.
So why was that shocking? How does that play into what you were asking?
It was so shocking because that morning I had specifically said, Lord, you have to come up with a plan.
Right.
And then Carrie's dad comes and says, I'd really like to do Christianity 101 because what do people do after Alpha?
Right.
And I was like, And then I looked at him, I'm like, Rob, because he's been on the show before, so it's okay to say his name.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Rob, I was praying about that this morning because I want our church to grow. I want our church to grow because of new people, not just recycled people who are unhappy somewhere else. And he said, I was praying about that this morning too. I know.
Isn't that great?
I know. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you stirring up? So it was so cool. And then I go to Thrive, which is the Christian group on campus here in the city. And we were talking last night about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ and what does it mean to be a fisher of men? And I'm listening to these young men and women talk and I'm busily like writing down notes. I'm like, oh, this is really good. And I'm like, we have to share this stuff. And I was really convicted about a passage from Matthew that I had never really understood it before. Like, I always got afraid to be a fisher of men because
why'd it make you scared? You're a pastor, man.
But like I said, in my mind, I'm a discipler, right? So I train people and but that whole idea of evangelism, I think just scares me. I've like,
now, when you say evangelism, like the first thing that comes to my mind, I don't know what you seem to, what wells up in your mind, but I picture like the soapbox preacher, right? Or the televangelist. When you think about evangelizing someone else, it's someone standing up on a podium and, you know, showering people with information or trying, or some kind of coercion to try and bring them into their club. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, is that kind of what was intimidating to you?
And being afraid that I didn't know what to say, that I felt culturally irrelevant, that they wouldn't want to listen to me.
Okay.
I felt like I didn't know how to package the words right. Like, but it's fear, right? And fear is from the enemy. It's the enemy who doesn't want me to share about Jesus and just the life change that he's made in my life. And so, you know, as I'm realizing that God wants to grow his church through new people, then I was like,
how are you going to get them new people in here?
How am I going to do that? And I literally was like, okay, Lord, like, you have to come up with the plan. So as I'm sitting there last night at Thrive, we started talking about a passage from Matthew that talks about being a fisher of men. And we talked about that. So anyways, over the next couple of shows, we're going to unpack this passage from Matthew, because there's a lot of really cool, I want to say, one-liners or even one words that we want to unpack and really understood them. Because I'm sitting there going, I've never read that passage like that before. And I have read this passage like
so many times,
times. And every time I got, and I will make you fishers of men, that statement, I immediately went, and it's like I tuned off right then. Instead of asking, Lord, how do I do that? I was saying, oh Lord, please not me.
Which is interesting, because I see you as a fisher of men. You know, because you do preach, you do teach, and sometimes there happens to be people who aren't already Christians listening to you, and of course then they come to Christ.
Right. But in, I think for all those reasons, all those preconceived ideas, I was just like,
yeah,
okay, Lord, that's somebody else. That's, Carrie, in my mind, has the gift of evangelism. Like, she just shares her faith, and we'll talk about that more too. And so I was like, okay, that's for other people. Right? That whole idea of being a fisher of men is for somebody else. And so I'm just realizing now I haven't done this, but I need to say, Lord, forgive me for having that attitude about that passage and other passages in the Bible where I'm like, oh, but that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sort of say, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Or, dear Lord, please don't ask me to do that.
Mm.
And so, like, I was really challenged because then I think we turn ourselves off to what God has for us, because we see our own skills and our own abilities, and we see who we are rather than we see
who he is and who he is in us. Because if Jesus did it, he says greater things that you will do than what you've seen me doing, because we have the Holy Spirit. So
yes.
If he did it, we can do it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, that's what I tell myself.
So let's go to the passage.
Okay, so this is from Matthew 4, verse 17. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, change your hearts and lives, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the lake because they were fishermen. We talked about that beforehand. It's interesting that they say they were throwing a net into the lake. Why? Because they were fishermen. Think about other reasons.
Why you throw a net into the lake.
Yeah. Carrying on.
It's good to spell it out.
Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. So Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus continued walking by Lake Galilee, he saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus told them to come with him. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first word that I thought we should look at from verse 19, where it says, Jesus said. So the fact that Jesus says it is really important. So it's not anybody else. It's like Jesus, the Son of God, is saying this. But he says, come. Like, he invites them. He actually invites them. There hasn't been, like, a resume submitted.
Like, here's what you're going to be signing on to.
Yeah. And there isn't a, it's like, okay, you have the gift of, or you're able to talk really clearly. You're able to get your points across. Oh, look, you have favor with people. And, oh, you're very handsome, too. Like, there's none of these things, right? They are smelly fishermen.
Yeah.
Right? And unkempt, because they have been out all night long. And Jesus sees past all of that and says, come.
Come on in.
Come. And, like, sometimes I get, I'm a word person. Sometimes I can get stuck on a word and think about it for a long time because it's an invitation. He invited them to come, and not for the reason where he thought that they would say no. He wasn't giving them an invitation for them to say no. Because you know how sometimes you invite people to go places, but you're kind of, you're just being polite? And you're like, oh, would you like to come? And you're really hoping on the inside that you don't want to, but you want to be polite, right? And so
we
you're,
talked about this.
So you're extending the invitation. You really don't want them to come, but you should be polite. Anyways,
do you want to come and have to do this and this and this? It's not going to be that awesome, but you're welcome to come.
Right. Where, you know, and then sometimes the other person really doesn't want to come either, but they would be offended if you didn't invite them, and you would feel wrong if you didn't, but really neither one of you want to come.
That's so culturally bound, eh?
I know. Like,
yeah.
So anyways, this is not the come that Jesus is talking about.
Yeah.
He genuinely wants them to come. And there wasn't, how do I want to say this? There wasn't this come and get cleaned up first.
Mm-hmm.
It was come as you are. It wasn't, okay, you go home and you get cleaned up, get your hair combed, get on like clean clothes, because they had been fishing. Like, they smelled like fish. And there was none of that. There was no resume checking. There was no, okay, you get all cleaned up and then, you know, we'll come and chat. It was immediately.
They left the boat.
Yes.
And came.
And came.
You know what I find interesting, too, is in verse 19, when he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, they didn't get insulted. It's like, well, we're already fishermen. Like, we know how to fish.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to teach us anything. But Jesus is introducing something totally different.
Yes.
But he used a context that they were familiar with.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They did not get offended. They did not say, can you not see what we're doing? You know, like, they heard it and then they responded, which is, you know, very interesting. And sometimes I need to think through, okay, what was the last thing Jesus invited you to be a part of? Because so often people are like, what does God want me to do in my life? And I will often say to them, well, what was the last thing God told you to do or invite you into? And did you do it? And sometimes they can't remember. And sometimes we're like, well, you know, I wasn't sure if he was really serious about that, or I was afraid. Like, and so I'm like, well, if you want to know what God wants you to do, go back to the last thing that he invited you to be a part of and take stock. Like, what happened? And I've talked to some people who have said no to Jesus at some point in their life, and they literally have felt like a door closed in their life at that point, and they have not felt close to the Lord as a result of saying no at that one point. Their life totally took a left turn or a right turn or a U-turn because they said no. And often when we can trace, okay, what was the last thing God told you to do or invited you to be a part of? And we go back to that and I'm like, are you willing? Like, are you actually willing to say yes to him now so that you can, you know, either get your life back together or begin hearing him? Because some people will say, well, I haven't heard Jesus in a long time. I'm like, well, did you listen to him the last time he spoke to you? Because it's very interesting. We want to hear. We want to feel the love of God. We want to, you know that he sees us. But then when he invites us into a situation or to be a part of it, we're like, oh, well, that's not for me. Or are you sure that's for me? Or I couldn't possibly do that. Like, we start making up all these excuses, right? And it's like, it's none of that. If Jesus invites us to say, come,
yep,
then he believes that we can do it.
Well, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Yeah. It's not like, come and find out how to.
Yes.
I'm going to make you. I will do it.
Yes. And that's just it. Like, come and be with me. It's like, not go somewhere else and figuring it out on your own. It's like, I'm inviting you and we're going to do this together. And yeah, together we will make fishers of men. Like, I'm going to teach you how to do this. Like, it's, mm-hmm. There's so much in that one word of come, where we just read it, right? We just read it in a one line, come and I will make you fishers of men, right? And yet there's so much there that says, you know, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't, you know, matter what we think we can do. The fact is, Jesus calls us, he invites us, he believes that we can do it, and then he's willing to do it with us.
Yeah, and he promises to be with us when we're challenged to do something.
Yes.
And I think, like, these disciples who were called, I think they all were martyred, weren't they? Yeah, Peter and Andrew. Peter was. Mm-hmm. And James and John. And I'm not sure about Andrew.
I'm not sure about Andrew either.
We'll have to look that up.
Google it. Andrew. See if he was martyred.
But they probably didn't know at that time what they were signing up and what the cost would be.
Yes.
But Jesus was with them, and just look at the transformation from them being called and not knowing.
Yes.
To them eventually dying for their faith because they knew the love that Christ had for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't really, and I think that's part of the fear.
Yeah.
Is we don't know what the invitation entails.
Yeah.
Come and I'll make you fishers of men. And we're like, okay, because some of us want the play by play.
Yeah.
Okay. So when is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? What are you going to do? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe they feel like, I don't want him to ask me to, like, move somewhere or have to ask someone to live with me or go, you know, I don't have the time in the day. I can't take on one more friend to evangelize.
Right. Or please don't ask me to give money to them.
Right.
Right? Like, I only have this much money, so please don't ask me to give to this cause or this cause. And it's like,
and we're kind of saying that, like, oh, yeah, people say this and they don't want me to do this. But I know that I've had that in my own heart.
And so have I. Like, yesterday,
I don't want to do something.
I know.
You said,
oh, yeah, yesterday a need came up at the church of a young woman who needed some clothes. And I was thinking, I was telling Carrie, we were getting our weeks together. And she's like, okay, what are you doing Thursday? And I'm like, TBA. And I'm like, it's just enough. It's a day. I don't know what I'm doing yet. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to go get an outfit. Because I've been thinking I would like a fall outfit, right? And all I could think about was, Jennifer, are you willing to give this young lady as much money as you're willing to pay
on
your own clothes? Because I have a closet full of clothes. I don't really need something else, right? And I was convicted. And I'm like, nuts!
Nuts.
And it's like, all I can think about is Jesus has come. Like, if I'm inviting you into this blessing for this young woman, do you not think that I can work the rest of it out? And I've seen it happen so many times where God invites us and we say yes, and then we sort of sit back and go, whoa, that was good. Like, because we don't see it, right? All we see is the invitation.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily see how it plays out. And that's what gets us, because we want to know, well, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
What exactly am I going to have to put out on this? And the thing is, that it's a trust thing. Am I willing to trust that God really does love me enough that he's going to stick with me? Like, and he's going to see it through. Because he doesn't, like, come, follow me, and I will make you, like, it's a process.
Yeah.
So I think we get caught up in fear.
Mm-hmm.
When the invitation comes, we start to be afraid, and it's like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah. And I think, so there's a story about a man who was an atheist, and he was going for a walk, hiking along a mountain, and all of a sudden came to an edge and lost his footing, and he was falling off the cliff, but he managed to grab a little tuft of grass. And as he's holding onto the tuft of grass, he's wondering how he's going to be able to get back onto the cliff ledge to be saved. So he's holding on the tuft of grass, and he looks down, and there's just jagged rocks. And even though he's an atheist, in his desperation, he says, "God, if you're up there, can you hear me? And help me." And all of a sudden he hears, "I can hear you. Let go of the tuft of grass and trust me." And he's holding on and he goes, "Is there anyone else up there?" Because sometimes what he asks is really hard.
Yeah.
To trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to end there on the first... And the third word, Jesus said, come.
Okay.
But we want you to think about that for the next week. The invitations that Jesus has extended to you, ministries to be a part of, missions to be, you know, to give to, or people to give to. Like, how has Jesus invited you in to follow him? Mm-hmm. And, you know, praise the Lord where you have said yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I am so thankful for the opportunities I've had to say yes to the Lord, and I have. And then in those times where you have said no because of fear or perceived lack, then we challenge you to say, okay, Lord, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I want to experience life and life to the full. Would you forgive me? And then let's pick it up.
Yeah.
And keep moving forward.
And he is so inclusive. He continues to offer that invitation to come to him.
Yes.
Even when we've messed up. Just recently, I was going to... be going to a function, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was like, "Oh, well, you know, I'd love to come do that." And in the back of my mind, I thought, "Oh, you know, and there's not really a whole lot of room in my car, and you know, I'm gonna have to work out picking her up and all this stuff." And in my mind, I'm trying to work out how to not have this friend come with me.
Right.
And Jesus is always inclusive.
Yes.
And so I was feeling bad about that, and then I thought, you know what? The very fact that I'm feeling bad about it points to the fact that Jesus has already is still doing a work in my life. So yay God.
Yay
so
God.
He allowed me to see it, and I'm so thankful for my friend, and I'm so thankful that he has shown me the way to be inclusive like him and just say come, and he can take care of the details.
Amen.
So yay God.
Yay God.
Should we pray?
Yes.
Oh, let's do it. Come and pray.
Yes.
Okay. Father, thank you so much that you say come, and you invite us to a life that is new every day. We thank you for that. I thank you for the wonderful privilege of being ambassadors for Christ, that we get to invite other people. And as we study this and learn about it, Lord, would you show us? Show us how you have done it and how you still do it and how you're using your church all over the world to make disciples. Thank you for the promise that you never will leave us or forsake us, and you will enable us to be fishers of men. Lord, would you bless our viewers and our listeners, and just ask God that you would encourage them and remind them how much you love them. I pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 All right. Well, thank you for tuning in again to New Every Day. We have a number of excellent partners.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on our partners page. We've got a whole list, like two pages.
If you need to buy anything, except for maybe eggs, if you need to buy anything, go to our website, click on our sponsor, on our partners page,
yeah,
and just read through what is there. Like we were reading it today, if you need a t-shirt made, there's a spot.
If you need to know how to make a website,
there's a spot. If you need, you know, to buy or sell anything, there's a spot.
Yeah.
So we really encourage you. And if you're wondering how could I help these girls, first, please pray for us. And secondly, consider buying what you would normally get anyways. Just click on our website, neweveryday.tv, click on the partners page, and just scroll through and see what you can get, the things that you need from those sponsors or through the partners. So.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to having you join us next week.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, same place, neweveryday.tv, and have an awesome week. Right, Jen? Cheers.
Cheers.